I don't think it's something that's going to work.
God only knows how it's going to end.
Sure, I think it's possible. Do I think that's what's going on here? Not at all.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Ryan Doyle, Trevor Mayo with you here on The Rush, the Monday edition. We've got a lot of ground to cover with some great people this afternoon on the roundtable. Christy Blatchford is here from the National Post. Robert Benzie stays with the program, which is very kind of him.
Thanks,
Bureau Queens Chief at the Toronto Star. And Chris Chapin, partner at Upstream Strategy. Great to have you all today.
Yo!
Let's start off with one of the battles. I'm sure there will be many between now and the fall election between the federal and provincial government. Today, it had to do with legal aid funding for those that are refugees and immigrants to our country. The Prime Minister making the announcement that $26.8 million will be available, new money for legal aid. He had a lot of words to say, though, about the government that is for the people.
We keep moving back. There's conservative politicians that keep trying to move us back and make the most vulnerable hurt for decisions that they make. And conservative politicians like to say they're for the people, but then they end up cutting services for the most vulnerable. It's what they do.
Christy, I've often been accused of being in the bag for the Ford government, but on this one, I think they're right. I mean, if you're going to be a federal government, you're going to bring people to this country. Immigration and refugees, those are your responsibility. I think this is the federal government having to pay the freight for this. And why would the province, you know, want to step up and use this kind of cash if they know the federal government is going to fill that hole anyway?
Well, I don't think until now they did know that. But I agree with you. It is immigration and refugees and all of that are federal responsibilities. It is, in fact, because of Mr. Trudeau, in part, that we have more refugees coming illegally, or migrants, I completely forget the correct current term, coming to our through our borders, and they do need help. They are vulnerable. I'm all in favor of making sure they're protected by having lawyers and many other things, but it's a federal decision to make this happen, and it should be a federal bill.
Chris, when I look at it, I think, you know, okay, the good cop, bad cop narrative that the Prime Minister is trying to put out there is interesting. And perhaps compelling to some, but when you take a step back, you know, when you listen to what Christy just said and what I've just said, it loses a little bit of its steam.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I get why they did this today. You know, the feds and Justin Trudeau want to fight Doug Ford. You know, Ontario is quickly becoming, you know, the battleground province. The West is pretty much shored up for the Tories at this point. And Atlantic Canada is certainly leaning back their way. So it's, you know, strategically to win the next election, Justin Trudeau needs to do almost as well, if not better, than he did in Ontario in 2015. So they want to pick a fight with Doug. This is a weird one to pick the fight on, because I think everybody can quickly see that not only have, you know, is it the Fed's responsibility to deal with this matter, and, you know, and they fund other provinces far greater than they fund Ontario. It's just bizarre that they've decided to have this fight, especially with the track record. Like, the province had been communicating with Trudeau's office for months, saying, hey, we need this money. It's your fault. You know, pay up, pay up, pay up. And there was, you know, written track records. I think they'd sent three different letters from the various attorney generals. So, you know, why they chose to pick this fight, I think you can't look at it under any other light than a political lens. I think, frankly, today it was a, you know, on this issue, it was a swing and a miss for Trudeau, but on the bigger issue, you know, here we are talking about Doug versus Justin.
Yeah, Robert, it's interesting because we also have this hot off the heels of a report last week that talks about refugees increasingly having to use Toronto and Canada's homeless shelters. So I don't think that's a great look on the federal government either. And again, I'm pro-refugee coming to the country, pro-immigration, where it makes sense. But you have to have a plan in place for these people, and I believe that this government has long not had a plan for these people, and they're playing catch-up.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mr. Trudeau loves the lofty rhetoric, his tweets about you are welcome here. And I think that there is a nobility to that, and I don't disagree. But the problem is there also is the reality. So you had Mayor John Tory saying, look, we have our shelters are jammed last summer. There wasn't a plan on that. You have the provincial government saying, look, our legal aid is now swamped. So they have issues. Now, in fairness, I understand why Trudeau is hitting the Ford government on legal aid, because the legal aid changes that they made were not terrific in the budget in the spring. And Mr. Ford's comments that saying, oh, if you're having trouble getting legal aid, just call my office. And that hasn't really worked out so great either. So,
like, he's got to call Saul.
Like Salino and Barnes or something, you know. But it's been a, but to Chris's point, the federal Liberals want to run against the provincial Conservatives because that's their best play right now.
Well, let's talk about one of the other players in the game, the Leaders Debate Commission, the body, which sounds so sexy. What do you do? I'm on the Leaders Debate Commission. Ooh. The body organizing two major federal election debates have invited leaders of five political parties to participate. With one notable exception, the People's Party leader, Maxime Bernier, is on the outside looking in. Christy, should we be a little bit more open to who we let in, or, you know, the rules are the rules? You've got to have some sort of status. He'd argued that he doesn't, you know, he has a seat, but he didn't win it with this party. So should we just stick with the way it is?
Well, there's a way, apparently, that they can, the People's Party can try and convince the commission that they ought to be represented. And that's by, you know, showing them their three best chances and trying to convince them, I presume they'd poll, that they do have a chance. I'd like to hear Max Bernier in this thing. I think, frankly, I'd rather hear him than either of Justin Trudeau or Elizabeth May. Elizabeth May runs a party, heads a party, which has one federal seat. How the heck does that get you in when an elected official, albeit, you're right, he wasn't elected under the People's Party banner, can't, you know? Elizabeth May, it seems to me, has been in these debates since, you know, dinosaurs roamed the earth, and nothing has changed with her party.
Chris, does Maxime deserve a spot in this debate?
I don't think so. I'll go the other way from Christy. I like that they're actually standing by these rules and that the rules mean something. You know, if Maxime Bernier can't convince, you know, Canadians to support him at the threshold that the commission has set out, then he doesn't deserve a spot there. Now, I also happen to agree with Christy that I was never sure why Elizabeth May was allowed on the stage in the first place, because I don't think at the time she could have passed these rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually personally believe the Bloc should be on there. I think, you know, if you're not running candidates in 338 ridings across the country, you're not a serious party to run our country. You know, it's very clear they are just a regional interest group. If you want to have a separate debate in Quebec about, you know, their standing, sure. I just, that's how I think it should be played out. I think there should be fair rules and everybody should have to follow them. And I think we've had different standards for different party leaders at different times.
Robert, you know, the broadcaster in me says, yeah, let's get sexy. Let's get, you know, some sizzle to this steak. And I think Max would bring a lot of that. I don't agree with a word the guy says, but I like interesting television.
Yeah. I mean, he's good theater. And I'm still scratching my head that, you know, Max Bernier could well have been the Tory leader. It could be a Max Bernier sign that that woman was holding up at City Hall today, not an Andrew Scheer sign. I mean, this is how close he was to the federal Tory crown. And I think that his actions since that leadership race have shown that the Tories made the right choice in Mr. Scheer, who is electable, at least.
Charmer?
I don't know.
I love having as many people involved in the debate, but I mean there are clear guidelines. We don't want like the Democratic primary where you have like 70 people on stage and you don't get anything done, and no one can really sort of battle out what their thoughts are and their vision for the country is. And so I like these rules. I actually do agree with you, Chris. Like, I don't know why the Bloc's there on the national stage. I don't think that's. I mean, I don't think they necessarily have to run someone in every riding, but you mean you should be running more than one province.
Yeah, and just a quick correction from our text board. The Greens have two seats. So there you go. Yeah,
my bad. For years, they had one.
Yeah. Progress.
Come on, that's double the load there. Let's talk about the numbers when it comes to cyclists getting tickets. Montreal police last year slapped cyclists with over 12,000 tickets. Toronto, 292. Christy, do we have an enforcement issue here? I mean, we're always talking about Vision Zero and protecting people and war on the car, but it seems like cyclists are getting a pass.
Well, look, when we solve the problems caused by drivers, car drivers, and when they stop running red lights and making turns without checking that people aren't in the intersection, etc. I mean, I'm mostly a pedestrian, so I have no axe to grind with cyclists. I have never almost been killed by a cyclist. I am almost killed by cars, I'd say, on a bi-weekly basis. You know, and I'm a really alert person when I'm crossing streets and looking every way. So I don't think the beef here is with the cyclist. I appreciate that it's irritating to motorists, etc. And yes, maybe they should be tougher, but that's not where the problem is. The problem is with motorists.
Chris, I mean, I can't think, though, that Montreal has all of these renegade rogue cyclists and Toronto is just fantastic. There's something that has to give with these numbers.
Absolutely. I too count myself as a pedestrian, but unlike Christy, like the number of times I'm almost hit by cyclists doing exactly what she said, drivers do, running red lights, running through stop signs. You know, we have, you know, I think we have a huge bad cyclist problem in this city. And I think it'd go a long way if the enforcement officials started throwing out a bit more tickets. The number of times you see cyclists coming up. Well, I mean, if you run through a red light as a cyclist and then get T-boned by a driver going through a green, whose fault is it?
No, I take your point. But I mean, really, I don't care. I mean, cyclists do much less
damage.
Come
on, Christy. I mean, the numbers don't lie. We could up the ante
a little
bit.
The numbers often lie. What do you know?
12,000 to 200? That's 42 times more in Montreal that has a smaller population than we do.
I don't know. I will say this only. I have been much more impressed with Toronto cops than I ever have been with Montreal cops. And I've spent a lot of time in Montreal.
Robert?
Yeah, I have spent a lot of time in Montreal too and lived there when I was going to school and stuff. But I agree with Blatch though that I'm a pedestrian most of the time, and drivers are more dangerous than cyclists. That being said, I don't understand why the police wouldn't want to enforce. I'd love to see more cops on bikes, actually, fewer cruisers, more cops on bikes. It's good for community policing. It's good for our city. And I think it would maybe get some cyclists to behave themselves a little bit better. You get off a streetcar and you get a cyclist running through and nearly hitting you on an almost weekly basis. And that's not safe either.
Let's just talk very quickly. Robert filled us in on the latest story when it comes to Google's Sidewalk Labs project, that company wanting to go to 178 acres of our land for their big tech city. It's going to be a city of the future, of course. But the premier basically saying, listen, if it's going to be taxpayers involved in any way to get to 178 acres, I don't think, he doesn't want any part of it. Christy, could this be the death of a project that is hardly off the ground at this point?
Well, maybe, but if it dies, it's from self-inflicted wounds. I mean, I think the governments in this city and the officials need to know completely what it's going to cost them, that is, us. And we need a lot more information than at least I'm aware of people having. So I share the premier's skepticism about the Sidewalk Labs project. I wish it well. I hope it works. But taxpayers shouldn't be on the hook. We're giving them 178 acres in this deal. What are we getting
12,
for?
Yeah, 12 in the original deal.
Yes,
they want
no,
to go
I understand
further.
That, yeah. But...
Yeah, Chris, I mean, you look at it, you know, do you wish them well in their future endeavors as well?
Yeah, listen, I think they had, you know, they had a cool plan, but I don't think most people had a clue what it is, right? And I think there was probably things that they could have sold this Ford government on, you know, increases to some of the cool things they wanted to do with forestry and talk about, you know, there was a bunch of places around the province that were going to have huge job infusions. You know, they had plans to open up factories, and they weren't really talking about that, and they weren't really talking about what it is they were bringing to the city outside of just waving a Google flag. So, you know, I think, I hope they kind of figure it out, because I do think it's a cool project. I know a fair bit about it. I just think they've probably got a long way to go if they've got both Joe Cressy and Doug Ford against this.
This just pains me because I really wanted to live there. And, and seeing this slowly slip away is just super painful to watch.
By the way, Joe Cressy and Doug Ford getting along and agreeing on this issue. Locusts will be next in the news, that's for sure. Chris Chapin, Robert Benzie, Christy Blatchford, thank you all.
Thanks,
thank you.
A lot of great stuff to come as The Rush continues, including a rather interesting story about your footwear that we'll share with you after 6:30. But it is 6 o'clock, which means Dave McKee is here from our newsroom with his views on the news. Dave, good to see you.
Good to see you as well. The autopsy results are in. We have the answer to the question, how did those two teens, alleged killers from BC, die? Police chief has a plan. Now he has the money when it comes to addressing gun violence in Toronto. Plus, a woman was allegedly spewing hate next to the Toronto sign today.
Get the f*** home!
But first... let's check your drive. News Talk 1010, time saver traffic.